During the two-week global meeting on climate, we're also exploring global warming. Sometimes the impacts really hit home when they, well, hit your home. People in California seeing fiery red clouds or flooding in Louisiana, in subways in New York. But what if you're not yet seeing that drama firsthand? A new website, This Climate Does Not Exist, can make climate change exist right on your doorstep virtually. Sasha Lucioni is a postdoctoral researcher at the University of Montreal, lead researcher on this project from the Miele Institute. Sasha, welcome.
Nice to be here.
Well, you know, I went on the website. We'll talk more about going on it, but how does it work? I mean, I see you type in your address, the, you know, the place that you want to see what climate change would look like. You can pick up a filter of smog, fire, or flooding. But you're not just doctoring a photo. You're not just taking a photo and pasting it over the house. What are you doing?
So it's actually, we're using an algorithm, so like a computational approach that can actually generate new content. So it can be used to generate deep fakes, for example. It's the same mm-hmm. approach. What it does is it takes the input image and it will try to find the elements on the image, so cars, buildings, etc. And essentially it'll create a 3D representation of the image in its memory. And then it will project the water on the image in a way that's as realistic as possible. Mm-hmm. And the way we trained it is we essentially gave it a bunch of images of normal street scenes, normal, you know, normal places, and then places hit by climate change. So as you mentioned, New York, Australia, I mean, there's been flooding pretty much all over the planet in the last 2 years. So essentially we trained it in order to learn how to generate these images.
Yeah. Well, and in my case, when I did it, you know, I did it with my house and you could see, you know, bushes sticking up through the water. You know, it wasn't just a Photoshop with water put over everything. You could see, it looked very real, and it was going up the front steps of my porch, and it was horrifying, frankly, because that's when I remembered, oh yeah, the back of the house, that's a, you know, a basement apartment that would be underwater.
There was a lot of cases of this during the recent New York floods, actually.
Yeah. And what did you see? What was it like for you?
Well, I've searched a lot of addresses. I think, I don't know why, but what really hits home for me are landmarks, places I've been and that have stayed with me, things like Times Square or the Triumphal Arch in Paris. So really places you go and that are like beautiful and historical and, you know, that really kind of stay in your memory. And then when you see them, for example, flooded or surrounded by wildfire smoke, you're like, what, this like society has created these places. Like Notre Dame is, you know, 500 years old and they can really go up in flames, literally.
Now talk about some of the concerns you and so many of us have about the amount of time we have left to really address this. I mean, I'm imagining that was behind doing this.
Yeah, at first we were like, well, we're a bit skeptical because we didn't think it would make an impact, honestly, because, you know, people see images of climate change quite regularly. I think we've become a bit blasé, mm-hmm. because, you know, you hear about this almost all the time. But I think that when we realized that seeing your own house or places that you really care about really carries a different message than just seeing somebody else's place.
Yeah, you know, and I'm thinking of the recent stories, the flooding in China, people in subway cars, you know, on cell phones to their loved ones as the water rose. And it's horrifying, but it, I don't know, it's not moving, doesn't seem to move the needle. So you're saying you think that seeing your own subway system, maybe, or your own home or a grandparent's home might. And I just want to ask you personally, because I know you worked in AI in the corporate world. Why the switch?
Well, yeah, I was working and really enjoying my job, actually. It was really interesting to solve all these puzzles and make lots of money. But then I realized that there was something missing for me, and that I had children at the time, and my two young daughters essentially were born while I was working there. And then I realized that I wanted to look them in the eye 10 years later and say, you know, I did my utmost to make sure that you have a planet where you can thrive and be healthy. And I realized that maybe, you know, solving just interesting puzzles wasn't going to cut it. Initially, I was going to quit my job and go volunteer or you know, clean up forests, pick up trash, things like that. And then my partner said, well, maybe you can use what you've acquired, your skills in AI, for to fight climate change. Maybe you don't need to start from scratch.
Now you've switched to climate change. And on the website, This Climate Does Not Exist. By the way, what's the meaning of that title?
So there was this trend a couple of years ago when the generative adversarial networks first came out. training them on a bunch of images of something and then saying, well, for example, this person does not exist. And then there was these really, they were really realistic images of people. And then that became a website. And then there was like, this cat does not exist. This apartment does not exist. Mm-hmm. There's actually a website called This X Does Not Exist. And it has like, I don't know, tens of these different websites that actually use these networks to generate kind of, well, I guess people call them deep fakes.
Oh, deep fakes, because it's artificial.
Yeah, they call them deep fakes, but yeah. Essentially it's not like Photoshopping. It's more like generating from scratch. It's really like based on all of these portraits, headshots of people, you can generate a new person. We wanted to kind of play on that trend, but also we really wanted it to be clear that we're not saying that this is true. We're not saying your house is going to be underwater. We're saying that this climate does not exist. It doesn't. It's not real. But unless we take action soon, it will. And the thing is, there's a gap between when we can take action, when we actually have a chance of you know, stopping global warming at a decent degree, and these consequences. So when this climate will exist, it'll be too late.
Well, and it does exist, as you said, for so many people. And at the website as well, and we'll link everybody up at herenow.org. But and by the way, are people saying, what can I do after they see it? How are people reacting? And then what can they do?
So we proposed a number of actions, both individuals, what people can do specifically. But actually what we found while doing all this research is that the most single impactful thing that people can do is talk about climate change and talk about it to their friends, to their, I don't know, to their colleagues, to their neighbors, because, you know, this should become a global phenomenon, right? Like a collective phenomenon. And the more we talk about it, it becomes more, you know, socially acceptable and more on people's minds when they make these choices. So it should kind of always be in the back of our heads when either, I don't know, we're choosing whether we take the train or fly, and then choosing our dinner and, you know, doing this and that. It should always kind of be in the back of our mind and influencing our choices. And that's what it's going to take. It's going to take a billion of small choices in order to make one big change.
Well, you talk about those little things people can do, and you've come up with tools for computer engineers to lessen their carbon footprint. How so?
Yeah, this was actually something that I've been working on. What I realized is that we don't have very good tools of figuring out our carbon footprint when it comes to computing, because, you know, you have all these carbon footprint calculators when you can enter how many miles you drive and what kind of food you eat. But the computing that we do, the actual training of AI models and things like that, also has a carbon footprint. So we developed a tool called Code Carbon, which essentially is like a small computer program that runs in parallel to whatever other code you're running. At the end, we'll print out an estimate of how much carbon you emitted. So that's going to be based on how long you were computing for, what energy source you were using, what hardware you were using, et cetera, et cetera. So it's going to take all these different parameters and essentially give you a number, and then you can compare it to like number, quantity of, you know, miles driven in a car and things like that to give you an idea of, you know, the order of magnitude.
So meanwhile, we've got COP26, the huge meeting on climate change in Glasgow. What are you looking for?
So, I mean, we would love to get images created by our algorithm up there because, you know, as they say, a picture is worth 1,000 words. And I feel like there's so many numbers and so much kind of dense information that's out there about climate change. But as people, we also respond really well to images. Getting those images out there and, you know, I guess kind of high level, but, you know, if they're talking about 4.5 degrees of warming, you have an image of the Eiffel Tower flooded, things like that would be really great because, you know, what does 4.5 degrees mean? Well, it means different things for different people and for different countries. So I think putting an image to these numbers could be very impactful to actually triggering change, because that's the issue. These COPs happen and people talk about it and they debate and then not much gets done in the long run. So I'm hoping that images can kind of be a game changer in that sense.
There is no more long run. Sasha Lucioni, postdoctoral researcher at the University of Montreal, lead researcher on the new climate visualization project from the Mila Institute. It's called This Climate Does Not Exist. You make it exist when you go online. We'll link you at hereandnow.org. Sasha, thank you and best of luck to you.
Thank you so much, Robin.